Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome, glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined today by Leo Holman. Sorry I couldn't be with you yesterday. Administrative duties called as we are getting ready for our Ozarks Worldview Weekend coming up this Thursday night with our concert banquet, and then we start Friday evening, and then all day Saturday, half day Sunday, and we will be filming it. No, we will not be live streaming the national conference. It is, if you live stream it, why people have no incentive to show up, really, I think. And I want them to show up because there's something about all of us being together in person. And my wife said to me the other day, are you planning on doing another one of these? I said, yeah, well, you know, because she's the one that encouraged me to keep going. I was going to stop 2 or 3 years ago because I said we're so busy with TV and radio. And she was just, again, saying, I think you should, but do you think you'll be able to? And I said, I don't know. It will all depend on what is happening in this country. Can you believe we are here in the United States of America and we have to actually say, we don't know if we'll be able to gather together as a free people collectively next year. We've booked the resort. We have it booked, but we have no idea what they're going to do. We have no idea if by that point we might be in a hot civil war. Make no mistake about it. We are at war. We are at war. We are in a civil war. We are in World War III. We just haven't gone to a hot civil war yet. And if we go to a hot civil war, that will not be because of us, the American patriots, the American people. It will be because of the enemies that have infiltrated our nation from within. We are fighting World War III. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, they have penetrated our country. They have terror cells here. They are bringing us a drug war. China is dumping fentanyl in our country. They have already released a bioweapon on us. We now have a bioweapon that is the so-called vaccine. The deep state, which is working on behalf of the globalists and the Marxists, they have declared war on us. Enemies, both foreign and domestic, have declared war on us. And if you dare want to fight back or resist, they label you a domestic terrorist. I want you to understand what's happening here, folks. They are labeling you the enemy that would stop their revolution in America, the domestic terrorist, so you will have no courage to fight back, to defend yourself. Make no mistake. No one wants a hot civil war that is a clear-minded, common-sense patriot. But if war comes and hot civil war occurs, it will be because of the enemies, external and internal, that have chosen to bring war to us, that have chosen to break the rule of law in America, the laws of nature and nature's God. Make no mistake, we will not be involved in a war of offense. But you can bet your bottom dollar, we will be involved in a war of defense, and we will use our Second Amendment rights. I have warned you on this broadcast many times, years ago, to not worship someone simply because they wear a uniform. And this is the hour that is here upon us now that caused me to warn you then. Do not worship people because they wear a uniform. I don't care if they wear a uniform and have a badge. What I care is, have they sworn an oath to the U.S. Constitution, and are they willing to defend their oath to the Constitution and enemies, foreign and domestic, to oppose? I said, don't worship your police. Honor the police who honor the rule of law. Respect the police who respect the rule of law. And when it comes to the military, I warned you again and again, tin pot dictators wear uniforms and a chest full of medals. Just because someone wears a uniform does not mean they are worthy of respect. Didn't I warn you about that? Many of you probably thought years ago, why is he warning us this? Well, I told you then, because the day is going to come when your police, many of them, will be your enemy. They will choose to be your enemy. We did not choose to make them the enemy. They chose to make themselves an enemy of the people and of the rule of law by breaking their oath. I told you the day is coming when much of your military will be your enemy. We did not make them the enemy. They made us the enemy by breaking the rule of law and breaking their oath. We warned you years ago the FBI was being turned over and could not be trusted and was becoming a KGB in America. And many of you probably wondered back then in those calm, placid days in America, why is Brannon House warning us not to have respect for the police or military simply because they wear uniforms? What is he anticipating? Well, here we are. And now look at the traitor that wears the uniform and is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Milley, who is complicit in working with communist China and to carry out a coup d'etat against the president of the United States. Look at the FBI. While they may carry a badge, they have become an enemy of the American way of life, our Constitution, the rule of law, and also were complicit in another attempt of a coup d'etat, a successful one, against a sitting president. And we have voting machine companies, which I have told you from the beginning, I believe, were highly connected to the intelligence arena and are actually front groups for the intelligence arena and deep state. Mafia, big government, big business, the intelligence arena, organized crime, I believe, working in concert together. Maybe you call them banksters. Maybe you call them mafia. Maybe you call them organized crime. It really matters not, for they are outside the rule of law. But I have warned you again and again that the day was coming when they would make us out to be not only domestic terrorists, as we've gone back to the Obama administration, labeling veterans as potential terrorists, pro-lifers, those interested in Bible prophecy, but they would label you in such a way to then take away your arms so you cannot defend against their unlawful, unconstitutional, godless revolution. But the question is, how many Americans will have the guts and the courage to stand up against this when the rule of law is on our side? For many do not have the guts or the courage to resist name calling. They don't want to be called a name. Well, then you better get used to the name slave, because that's what you're going to be. Now, let me repeat again. I don't want a hot civil war. That's what the enemies of America want. They want a hot civil war in America. I don't want to see violence in America. But I do believe we have the God-given right and the constitutional right and obligation to be involved in a war or civil war of defense. In other words, respect the rule of law, leave me and mine alone, and I will leave you alone. You come after me and mine, and we're going to have a problem. I will not be involved in a war of offense, but I will be involved in a war of defense, because the alternative is to become a slave. And perhaps you and I will perish in that war of defense. But as Winston Churchill said, it is better to perish than to live as a slave. So we are going to learn today from Leo Holman about many disturbing things that he has to report. And then I'm going to play audio for you from Dr. Peter Vincent Pryde that I just finished recording. China, Russia, and North Korea are planning to take Taiwan. They are planning to take Japan. And then they plan to take America. I have been warning you since Unrestricted Warfare, written by two communist Chinese colonels in 1999, that China and Russia would work together to take America. We have former KGB officers that admitted that China and Russia many, many, many years ago, before the fall of the Berlin Wall, had the plan to take down America together. Even a foreign invasion on the lower 48. And now, my friends, Dr. Peter Vincent Pryde reveals to us that that's exactly what Russia and China and North Korea plan to do. Take Taiwan, take Japan, and then take America. Joining me now is Leo Holman. Leo, welcome to the broadcast. Whoop, I think I hear that we lost Leo, so we'll get Leo reconnected. And in fact, while we're waiting on Leo to get reconnected, I might as well just go right to the audio of Dr. Peter Vincent Pryde. Then we'll get the update from Leo. So without delay, let me go to the audio that was just recorded minutes ago. We haven't even had time to put it yet at worldviewradio.com. We'll get that there later today. But here is Dr. Peter Vincent Pryde.
Today, if China attempts to conquer Taiwan, it will be the United States, like the USSR in 1962, that will be militarily disadvantaged. The Pentagon's own war games show the U.S. losing to China in a conflict over Taiwan. The Pentagon's own war games show the U.S. losing to China in a conflict over Taiwan. recently, a very senior Department of Defense official spoke to this. The Department of Defense's Deputy Chief of Staff for Strategy, Integration, and Requirements, Lieutenant General Sam Hinault, he warned recently, I'm quoting him, as somebody who is cognizant of the evidence at all classification levels, cognizant of what's going on in our exercises, I believe the light is blinking red. Why? Because it used to be that when we did future war games, we were having trouble when we set the war game 5, 10, 15 years out into the future. But what has changed since the last time we sat in this building 2 years ago is that it's not a future problem. It is a current problem. We are out of time. In other words, right now, we're losing the war games. Not set 5, 10, or 15 years into the future. When we play the war games right now, we lose to China. And we lose 5, 10, and 15 years out into the future, too. So like the United States in 1962, China may soon, if not already, dominate the nuclear balance. Remember how I told you we had that 5-to-1 advantage in ICBMs? We had a big advantage in strategic bombers, and that's what enabled us to prevail in the Cuban Missile Crisis? Well, recently, the commander of our U.S. nuclear deterrent, the U.S. STRATCOM commander, Admiral Charles Richard, as reported by Bill Gertz in the Washington Times, warns that China is building silos for, and I'm quoting, 350 to 400 new long-range missiles, like the DF-41 ICBM that carries 10 warheads. Consequently, if 10 warheads are deployed on the DF-41 ICBMs, China's warhead level will increase to 4,000 warheads on the DF-41 alone in just a few years. 4,000 DF-41 ICBM warheads alone would give China a 10-to-1 advantage over the United States' 400 ICBM warheads. We only have 400 ICBM warheads today. They would have 4,000 just on the DF-41 ICBM warhead. That's a 10-to-1 advantage. What was the advantage the United States had over the Soviet Union during the Cuban Missile Crisis? We had a 5-to-1 advantage. China will have a 10-to-1 advantage. And China will have a nearly 3-to-1 advantage over the 1,400 operationally deployed U.S. strategic nuclear weapons on all ICBMs, all submarines, and all bombers. In other words, all three legs of the triad. You count up all the nuclear weapons on our entire strategic deterrent, and just on those DF-41 ICBMs China is in the process of deploying now, they will have a 3-to-1 advantage over the whole force. And we're in trouble right now, not just in the future, but they're finally done building those new silos for the DF-41. China already has a nuclear first strike capability against America's 400 ICBM silos. We've got 3 bomber bases. We have 2 ballistic missile submarine ports and a handful of command, control, communications, and intelligence targets comprising the U.S. nuclear deterrent. China's existing DF-41s, they have about 50 DF-41s deployed on mobile launchers right now. That's 500 warheads, because each of these DF-41 warheads, missiles carries 10 warheads. So they've got 50 missiles with 500.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Logan, can you load the last 3 ADF shows to them on Dropbox? They keep blowing up my phone for last 3. a nurse who is going to join us for the very first time with some shocking news. Then Dr. Artis will join me with very informative news for you in case you or your loved one end up in the hospital. And then I'll be joined for a big chunk of the broadcast by former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston. We're going to be sharing with you three more patents. Breaking news tonight. First time it will be shown on television. Breaking news tonight. Three more patents that have been found related to tracking you, who you come in contact with. If you should get one of these shots, the patents they have developed now for technology to develop a network that sends out a signal documenting who it is you're coming in contact with, and then, of course, giving you a social credit score based on whether or not you are obeying their rules by staying at home, who you're associating with, including one of the patents shows that one lady got a bad score because she went to a religious service. So this is absolute China, New World Order, Brave New World type technology. I have a friend of mine who is again, just retired from the military intelligence October 1st. He told me that he was invited to join Operation Warp Speed. He couldn't figure out why is he being asked to join Operation Warp Speed well over a year ago. And he didn't understand that because of his expertise being in the area of satellites. And then he listened to the show that I did last week with Karen Kingston related to tracking people. And he said, now I think I realize. I think they plan on using these low orbiting satellites to track the movements of Americans with this communication system that they're putting together and then injecting these nanotechnology. Now you say this is over the top crazy talk. Well, then you should go to my website, WVWTV.com, and look at the TV show I did with her the other day on it. I also have a brand new article about it at worldviewtimes.com that Leo and I put out, worldviewtimes.com. And tonight we're going to add three more patents to that we've not shown you yet. Now let me finish up with Peter Pry, then I'll go to Leo, because Peter Pry is warning today in his broadcast that we have not even had time to post yet, although I did just get an article by Peter Pry on this topic at worldviewtimes.com. Russia, China, and North Korea plan to take Taiwan, then Japan, and then they're going to go nuclear, by the way, then Japan, and then the United States. And Russia, by the way, is not denying any of this trash talk from China. Why is Russia not denying it? And do you really think the Biden administration will oppose them in Taiwan, in Japan, and the takeover of America? No, because they have installed an enemy. Joe Biden is, and his administration is the enemy and enemies of America. They are traitors who've been put where they are with an illegal, unlawful election to take down America. We are at war. Listen to the rest of Peter Pry from today.
And we're in trouble right now, not just in the future when they're finally done building those new silos for the DF-41. China already has a nuclear first strike capability against America's 400 ICBM silos. We've got 3 bomber bases. We have 2 ballistic missile submarine ports and a handful of command, control, communications, and intelligence targets comprising the U.S. nuclear deterrent. China's existing DF-41s, they have about 50 DF-41s deployed on mobile launchers right now. That's 500 warheads, because each of these DF-41 warheads, missiles carries 10 warheads. So they've got 50 missiles with 500 warheads right now. And these are sufficiently powerful and accurate that they can achieve a 90% single-shot kill probability against the hardest U.S. target. So just one warhead would enable them to destroy the hardest U.S. targets. You know, when there are fewer than 500 of these counterforce targets, our ICBMs, silos, our bomber bases, our ballistic missile submarine ports, they can get all of that right now today in a surprise nuclear attack. Dr. Mark Schneider, a former senior Defense Department official and prominent nuclear strategist, in his excellent article, The Chinese Nuclear Breakout and the Biden Administration's Nuclear Posture Review, this appeared in Real Clear Defense on 28 August, makes a compelling case that U.S. ICBMs and SLBMs lack the yield and accuracy sufficient to destroy China's hardest targets, including these new ICBM silos. China's new ICBM silos may be hardened to 30,000 PSI, that's pounds per square inch of overpressure. They can withstand a blast of 30,000 pounds per square inch. Imagine that. That's 30,000 pounds, you know, per square inch. That's like having more than 100 tons per square inch pushing down on every square inch of a silo. And they can withstand that. China's ICBM silos may be able to withstand that. But U.S. ICBM silos are hardened only to 2,000 PSI. You know, they're less than one-tenth as strong. Moreover, U.S. retaliatory capabilities against counterforce targets in China, when you add up all the targets in China, you know, we're limited under the New START Treaty. China's not a signatory to the New START Treaty, by the way. They're not limited in the number of weapons they can deploy. We are. We can't deploy more than 1,550 warheads under the New START Treaty. You know, we haven't even built up to that level. We've got about 1,400 level of warheads. I think the last count was really 1,398. I think that's exactly the number of weapons we actually have, 1,398, about 1,400 warheads. That's not enough warheads to attack all of China's ICBM silos, all of their missile tunnels, all of their mobile missiles, all of their bomber and ballistic missile submarine bases, all their command and control bunkers. It's 5,000 kilometers long. You know, and they're probably hiding warheads and missiles inside that thing. You know, our retaliatory capabilities are grossly inadequate, whereas China has a first strike capability right now. China's race toward nuclear domination of the United States probably accounts for why Beijing appears to have retracted its nuclear no first use pledge. Recently, China threatened a nuclear first strike against Australia for buying U.S. nuclear-powered submarines. Australia's submarines, the ones it's, you know, planning to buy from us, these are not nuclear-armed submarines, they're just nuclear-powered. And yet, you know, these nuclear-powered submarines that will carry conventional weapons, China doesn't even want them to have those and threaten a nuclear first strike against Australia. In July, this past July, an unofficial website, which is affiliated with the China's People's Liberation Army, made the following threats, and I'm quoting directly from that Chinese website. And now the international situation has changed dramatically. In order to protect the peaceful rise of our country, it is necessary to make limited adjustments to our nuclear policy. Oh, what are these limited adjustments that China is making to its nuclear policy? Quote, I'm quoting, when we liberate Taiwan, okay, not a question. When we liberate Taiwan, if Japan dares to intervene by force, even if it deploys only one soldier, one plane, and one ship, we will use nuclear bombs first. We will use nuclear bombs continuously until Japan surrenders unconditional surrender for the second time. We will join forces with Russia and North Korea to shoot together and hit the Japanese mainland thoroughly and in full depth. In other words, Russia, China, and North Korea will gang up and make nuclear missile strikes altogether against Japan. After defeating Japan, we must take more severe measures than in World War II to partition Japan by dividing the four Japanese islands into four independent states. China and Russia should each formulate its own peace constitution, and each of the four countries should be placed under the administration of China and Russia, with China and Russia stationing troops. So in other words, China is threatening to join with its ally, Russia, to occupy Japan, to divide Japan up into four countries, to write a constitution for these four countries, you know, to impose what they call peace, you know, which is really domination on them. And they'll station troops, Chinese and Russian troops will be stationed in the dismembered Japanese home islands to dominate them. If China is victorious in a nuclear war over Taiwan, as they presume above in this statement I just read to you, would China be more merciful to its chief opponent, the United States, to Japan? Of course not. In this passage that I just read, substitute Japan with the United States for the official PLA vision of the post-war. And I think that that's what they're signaling to us. So let's do that. After defeating the United States, we must take more severe measures than in World War II to partition the United States. More severe measures than were taken against Japan in World War II to partition the United States. We will divide the United States into four independent states. China and Russia should each formulate its own peace constitution to impose on each of these four parts of the United States. And each of the four dismembered parts of the United States shall be placed under the administration of China and Russia, with China and Russia stationing troops in the United States. So that's China's vision of the post-war settlement after they win a nuclear conflict. Russia and North Korea have made no official denial, by the way, that they would join with China in a nuclear war against the United States. You know, you would think, you know, here China has volunteered, hey, North Korea and Russia are going to join us in making nuclear war against the United States and Japan. You'd think their foreign ministries that are usually sensitive to this, or at least ours would be, would say, wait a minute, we don't plan to do that. No, they haven't denied it at all. Indeed, China, Russia, and North Korea are strategic partners. China and Russia have conducted major military exercises together, including at least one strategic forces exercise postulating a nuclear war with the U.S. over Taiwan. In 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, President Kennedy did not face a coalition of three nuclear powers as we do today. China's most compelling reason for conquering Taiwan is for ownership of the future, and this probably makes war inevitable. China needs Taiwan as an unsinkable aircraft carrier to defend itself and to dominate the South China Sea and the Pacific. No empire like China, aspiring to world dominance, will tolerate a rival in their own backyard like Taiwan. So what can we do? What's to be done?
So notice, and I'm going to bring on Leo Holman now. Leo, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
Well, notice there in that recording, and he's reading again from an unofficial website in China, but that means nothing's up in China and out there like that that isn't allowed. So they're using this unofficial website, I guess, to send their message. That and as they state, they plan to take Taiwan. They plan to then take Japan, divide it into four countries between China and Russia, and put in troops. Now, if you go against Taiwan and Japan, you're going to be going against America. You're going to be going to war with America. I don't know that they will have to go to war with America, being as they have their traitor in the White House. I think he would just surrender and hand them the keys. But reality is, if they can do that to Taiwan, do that to Japan, why would they not do the very same? Take America, divide it among China and Russia, when that's exactly what we have a former general years ago. Not only we have the unrestricted warfare document from 1999, but we have this other Chinese general that also said that eventually they would take America, they would use a poison against America, biological weapons against America to clean up America, and then they would walk in and take the lower 48, giving Alaska to Russia. I want Leo to comment on everything he's just heard. And then we're going to go to some breaking news with Leo as well. It's Worldview Radio. Our website's worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. You'll find some brand new articles by Leo and myself at worldviewtimes.com. We're working with Leo now closely. We're doing the TV and the radio, and then he's helping us to crank out these articles in print, worldviewtimes.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. And again, I invite you to go to worldviewradio.com. Look at all the radio shows we have there. You can go to wvwtv.com. Look at all the TV shows that are constantly being posted up there, wvwtv.com. We've now got about six people working with us to help us keep up. We've just started a great relationship with Leo in regards to cranking out articles. We'll do the TV, and then he takes them and takes the transcripts and turns them into great articles, and we're posting them there at worldviewtimes.com. Again, the free radio shows, free TV shows, free articles. We also just recently, in the last few months, have made an investment of $200,000, folks. We've had to spend $200,000 in all kinds of additional equipment and new equipment. And we are also putting in a new piece of equipment that will allow us to have guests on for TV. Is what one of the big networks uses, that the conservative network uses, said, look, you're having issues with your guest and who can log in. We've tried all kinds of platforms. They said, this is the piece of equipment you need to go to if you want a good picture and to be stable. But that piece of equipment is $8,000. That is arriving to us this week. We just had to go out and get a new Comrex unit, which is what allows us to connect to VCY. That's $5,000 because the one we have now is about 11 years old, I believe. We have a phone system we're wanting to put in so we can take phone calls from you guys. That's another $4,000. The point I'm making is we're making a lot of investments into building up WVW Broadcast Network and TV and radio, and yet we continue to give over all those free shows, radio, TV, articles. So thank you to all of you who are supporting us, who visit our bookstore, our resources in our store that help us to generate the revenue to keep buying and putting in this technology, because I'm really excited about the ability to take phone calls on television on the weeknights as well as on Sunday night, because I love it when we can have you involved in the conversation. So again, I sat down in my office in June of 2006. I penciled out a digital broadcast network, what it would look like. We were one of the first organizations to ever have a Roku channel. Even my IT guy didn't know what a Roku channel was. So we've worked really, really hard to build up what we have today, and your partnership with us and support over the years is so vital to us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, remember what we told you. Our goal is not only to give you cutting-edge information, but to bring you a broadcasting network that in quality was like Fox News. And I think we've endeavored to do that. And I challenge you to go look at the quality of what we're doing at WVWTV.com. Joining me now is Leo Homan. His website's Leo Homan, L-E-O-H-O-H-M-A-N-N, leohoman.com. Leo, again, let's go back to what is being said by Dr. Peter Pry, warning that an unofficial website of China, which is how they do it over there, but that means they want it up or wouldn't be up. They're going to take Taiwan. They're going to use Taiwan as an unsinkable aircraft carrier by which to dominate the seas over there and their quest for world domination. Then after they take Taiwan, they go in and take Japan, divide it up into four regions. And of course, by doing this, they're declaring war with the United States. But are they really? Because the current occupant of the White House is a red. I mean, he was put into power by the Reds. He was put into power as a kid in his mid-20s by the Council for a Livable World, a communist group. So this is becoming very dangerous. I don't know if you heard my monologue about the fact that we are in a war. The Civil War's already started. It hasn't gone hot yet, per se, unless you want to redefine hot, meaning they're killing Americans with a bioweapon, then, and our government's doing it through the, quote, vaccine. Then it's definitely gone hot. But Americans better wake up and realize the day is coming where they may not have a choice but to be involved in a war of defense, not a war of offense, just like the Founding Fathers were against Great Britain. Your thoughts, please?
Absolutely, Brandon. I did catch part of your monologue, but not the last half of it, as my call dropped. But I think I heard enough to know where you were going with it, and I totally agree that we are heading for a confrontation, both domestically with our oppressors within, and once that all shakes out and we find out who ends up on top of that Civil War confrontation, and I do believe it is going to go kinetic, if the deep state wins that confrontation, or at least looks like it's going to win, and it maybe it comes to a stalemate, I think that is when China swoops in with its long-held plans to invade America, but they want us to kill each other as much as possible before they do that. They know that this country has 450 million firearms. Think about that. More firearms than we have people in this country. So it's not quite like taking Taiwan or Australia or Japan or anything like that. They know that America has a very strong civilian population and a very strong number of veterans who are not only armed but trained. And so they want us to kill each other and to weaken each other first before they launch the invasion. And I think that's why that is the purpose of the bioweapon that has been launched against the American people by China with its deep state American partners. And that includes the entire gamut that you talked about, the entire Biden administration, the entire federal bureaucracy, with Dr. Phony Fauci at the head of that, trying to get this thing into every man, woman, and child, and just to demoralize us at the same time that they're trying to sicken us and kill us. Fauci was on the networks, TV networks, yesterday talking about banning the unvaccinated from air travel. And he also said, Brandon, that, quote, nothing is off the table. Nothing is off the table in our coercive measures to demoralize the American people, to bifurcate the American society, divide us into two tiers, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. This is everything that's on the table. So air travel is going to be next. They're going to boot us off the planes. Then they'll talk about booting us off of the highways. And interstate travel. They're already booting us out of some of the hospital systems, refusing to treat the unjabbed. And so this is a total deconstruction plan that you see by the Biden administration working for its Chinese allies to weaken and destroy everything in America to set the stage for their Chinese partners to come in and do basically what they hope to be a mop-up operation.
And, you know, what's really sad is if we had pastors in America that had trained their congregations correctly when it comes to Romans 13 and the rule of law and the laws of nature, nature's God, and biblical self-defense, the churches in America would be an obstacle. But instead, as I write in my book, Marxianity, and by the way, today, five pallets of Marxianity arrived. Now, we can't do anything with them this week because all of our emphasis is on getting ready for our national conference. But the next week, we will begin shipping out those books, Marxianity, 366 pages. Normally, that book in the first printing was $20. I said, okay, I'll do a second printing. Our staff doesn't have the time for all this, but people are wanting it. They want it. We just certainly don't want to deny them this. I said, there's the PDF. Go get that. No, people want a hard copy. I get that because I'm old school. I want the hard copy. So I said, fine, we're going to reprint it. I don't want to take, you know, 2-3 years to sell thousands of copies, which is not, you know, again, the average book in America sells 4,000 copies. You know that? The average book in America sells 4,000 copies. That's not very many. We blew through that in our first printing easily, okay? So I said, fine, print several thousand more, but we'll give them away for $4.99. By the time we pay for printing, shipping, packing it up, paying someone to pack it up, this is not making money. It's about getting out information. So if you want to go ahead and order the Marxianity book, and we've made it $4.99, hoping you buy quantities and give them away, because the churches in America should be an obstacle, and they're not going to be. That's why I wrote Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Reich, Marxianity. They're not going to be the obstacle. They have brainwashed the people into a perverted version of Romans 13 and to surrender, and they've taken over our seminaries, brainwash these guys in social justice and cultural Marxism. I think your mic's on, Logan. And so please go there and go to wvwtv.com/store and order quantities, because the five pallets just came in today. But Leo, I don't think these churches in America will be an obstacle. Many of these so-called pastors are not pastors. And you know what's also interesting is I'm seeing more and more guys on social media showing their uniform. I saw one gentleman the other day showed his uniform. He's a former Marine. He pulled his uniform out of the closet, wrapped in plastic, and showed it and said, you know, I'm sorry, but you keep this going and you try to get a shot in me, I'm going to go to war with you. And he shows his his beautiful blue Marine uniform in the plastic and on the hanger they pulled out of the closet. We have a lot of military that are going to stand up, former military, that are not going to tolerate this one iota. Your thoughts?
I agree 100%. It looks like even a larger percentage of the military than we even could have possibly hoped for, Brandon, is going to reject this thing. At least 25%, maybe more. I've seen some video testimonies from some of the active member duties of our military just in the last couple of days. There was one, a young Marine, and he looked like he could have been more than 21, 22 years old, Brandon, and he was totally resolved. He was not what Biden calls vaccine hesitant. No, he was anti-vaccine resolved. He said that that the government who was oppressing him, his superior officers, all these minions who think that they can force these veterans and these active duty people to get this jab. He said, "No, you don't understand. I am ready to die defending my right to choose on this." He said, "I would rather die than take this jab." And so they're hardening, they're stealing their resolve right now. And I don't think anyone who has gone this far, has resisted this far, is suddenly going to wake up one morning and say, "Oh, I think I will just cave and go ahead and get this to save my career." He counted the cost. He talked about the court-martial proceedings. He was up on that and knew how those proceedings are handled in detail. And he said that the punishment for being found guilty in one of these military courts can range from 1 or 2 years in prison up to death. And so he said he was prepared to even accept death rather than get the jab. And that's how I feel. As a civilian man in this country, we are not vaccine hesitant. If you want this, Biden, bring it, and bring it now, and you will face a defense of our freedoms that will push you as one Republican governor of South Carolina said recently, they will fight you, and we will fight you to the gates of hell.
And this idea that we're going to charge people as domestic terrorists, deprive them of their day in court, deprive them of their civil rights, trumped up charges, fake charges, throw them
in. That is correct. And like you said, we're not going to go on offense and do anything stupid.
Nope.
We're not a violent people. We are peaceful people. But if they try to force us, then they should expect, if they try to bring military force against us, and you called it, I did catch this, I believe it was in your monologue, when you said, do not trust every person who comes to your door wearing a military uniform or a police uniform, or no matter how many badges they have on their vest, do not just automatically think that they're on your side, because the chances are, once they remove all of these patriots from the military, from the police forces, we're undergoing a great separation right now, Brandon. I know you see it as clearly as I do. They're removing all the patriots from law enforcement, from the military, and what's going to be left is going to be brown shirt thugs.
Hold right there. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio. Let me see if you can see that. Look at world. You got it. Worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com. We're going to show you a screenshot here in a minute. But first, let me have you repeat that last sentence before we went into break. Leo, what was that last sentence?
Right. I said, Brandon, that the process, the very sort of divisive process that we're witnessing right now being played out before our very eyes is the purging of the military and the police departments to remove as much as possible the patriotic people from those institutions. So what we're left with is agencies and a military made up of brown shirts and basically thugs who will do anything that they are ordered to do, no matter how horrific. Literally something similar to the Nazi brown shirt.
Absolutely. You know what's really scary, and I don't think the American people understand this, and I hope you understand it and hear me well. What they're using is the color of law. Okay, this is a color revolution. Okay, we've talked about a color revolution before, folks, where it's your deep state actually carrying out, your CIA, your intelligence communities carrying out a revolution under a different color. Okay, they've used election boards. They've used voting machine companies. And I believe that many of these voting machine companies are CIA front groups and or controlled by various intelligence groups. Maybe not 100%. Again, it's a mixture of big government, big business, you know, banksters, crooked people. Well, what they've done under the color of the law, they're carrying out a revolution. So the natural response from most Americans is, oh, well, we like the police. We like our sheriff departments. We like the FBI. We like our government in that we will honor them. We will respect them. We're not anarchist. We're not communist revolutionaries. We tend to honor and respect the rule of law. But here's the problem. This isn't the rule of law. They have broken the rule of law, okay? And you need to understand, they are not the government. We are the government. We are the government. They are not the government. And as soon as they break the rule of law, they have given up their position. They are no longer legal magistrates. They are no longer constitutional magistrates. They no longer fit the biblical definition of a magistrate in Romans 13, a minister of good, reward the righteous, punish the wicked. You do not have to obey them. Not only do you not have to obey them, you're obligated under the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution not to obey them. And so what you need to understand is they have put on a uniform. They've taken over your police departments, many of your police departments. They've taken over, not all, but they've taken over many of them. They've taken over many of your sheriff departments. They've taken over your military and your FBI. The Marxists and the globalists have taken them over because they knew they could get you to go along if they got those institutions, the long march through the institutions. And now they want you to feel like it's your problem. You're the bad person. You're an extremist. You're in the wrong. While they use the color of law in their badges and uniforms to carry out a war against you, and they're laughing their rear ends off because you are surrendering, letting them take you into custody, throw you in jail, deprive you of your civil liberties, and the crooked judges, many of them who are on the take, either financially or been blackmailed, are not standing up for the people, many of them. So they're laughing their rear ends off because you're surrendering, thinking, well, it's the law, I gotta obey. Really? Since when? They're not the law. We are the law. We are the law. What is the law? The law is individuals coming together collectively to defend individual rights and the rule of law. They are outside the law. So you need to understand and understand well. They have put on the uniform of your military, of your FBI, of your police, and your sheriff departments, not all police and not all sheriffs, but many of them now, because now we have not taught police officers to stand up. They have deliberately put pansies into positions so they will just listen to their handlers, be it the city commissioners, or the county commissioners, the city council, the governors, whoever. And they've put on those uniforms and they are using your natural inclination to be lawful. Well, you're not being lawful when you disobey, when you obey unlawful orders. You're not being lawful. You're being involved in lawlessness yourself. And so they're using the color of the law to take you in, many of you. You've been thrown into solitary confinement. They are taking you off the street, the leaders and patriots. And some of them did some things they shouldn't have done, like walk into the Capitol. That was dumb. That was a trap. But they're breaking the law and setting up false flags, the FBI and others are. And then they're going to, after they take you in and deprive you of your liberty and freedom and treat you a political prisoner, they're laughing. Because they've declared war on you and they're using the color of the law to do it. And you're succumbing to them. And they're laughing. Because it's a great trick. But if they're outside the law, you have the obligation not to obey them, not to surrender to a revolution. Leo?
Well, you hit it out of the park there again. Romans 13 and the misunderstanding of Romans 13 is really what is holding the church back from understanding what is going on. We lived through a color revolution in November and December of last year. It was solidified their power on January the 21st when Mike Pence certified those electoral votes on the floor of the Senate and did not do his constitutional duty to send those votes back to the state legislatures and have them reevaluate exactly what went on.
And I think Pence, by the way, fraud. I think Pence is as dirty as a football team's laundry after a hard, sweaty game.
Yeah, I won't go there, but I would not disagree that Mr. Pence has a lot of questions to answer that he never answers and now is trying to wiggle his way back into mainstream politics. I hope he's never successful because he is a traitor.
He's a snake.
However, yes, because most Americans, thanks to Pence and others who helped these coup plotters.
Fauci and Burks. Wasn't that Pence that brought them in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trump appointed Pence to head up his coronavirus White House coronavirus task force. And who was the first people he chose to be the face of that task force? Dr. Anthony Fauci and Ms. Burks, Dr. Burks, which have had a long history of working with globalists, deep staters, China, etc. And so Pence is tied into that crowd. But the church has not understood that we are not ruled by a legitimate government anymore. On January 21st, the coup plotters solidified and finalized their coup. And so the deep state is in charge, not the state that was elected. The head of state who was elected was President Trump. And while I'm not the biggest fan of President Trump anymore, because
we'll leave it right there. We're out of time. LeoHoman.com. LeoHoman.com. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.